listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Hey, last week we began a new series called Uncommon Sense. Somebody say uncommon sense. For the purpose of this series, our working definition for the word wisdom is this: the ability to know and apply truth that aligns with God's will and way. The ability to know and apply truth that aligns with God's will and way. That's what wisdom is. I explained to you that wisdom and knowledge are two different things, and that knowledge without wisdom is dangerous. Now, I was struggling last week, I admit that, health-wise. I'm still working on my voice, but I'm feeling so much better. Appreciate all the prayers. I'm not sure if I did it justice last week on what I wanted to emphasize as I talked about knowledge and wisdom. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that knowledge without wisdom is dangerous, and I see it all the time. I see people that know the Bible, but they have no wisdom at all. And therefore, they're turning more people away from Christ than they're leading people to Christ. Or they're losing influence because nobody wants to listen to them because they know Scripture, but they have no wisdom. And I told you last week that the world has too much knowledge. We just have way too much knowledge. We have desired knowledge since the beginning of humanity, since Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and gained that knowledge because they wanted to be like God. But what they did not have was the wisdom of God to compute all of that, to process that knowledge of good and evil. And so we are naturally lacking in wisdom. We don't have that. We have knowledge, but what we don't have is wisdom. And so wisdom is a supernatural act that God bestows upon his people as they open their hearts and their minds to receive that wisdom from him. But it's supernatural. Wisdom is not natural. It is supernatural. Wisdom is uncommon sense. Not everybody has it, but everybody can obtain it. King Solomon, as we looked at last week, he prayed for wisdom, and God gave him Hokmeh. And it's the Hebrew word meaning a skillful problem-solving advantage. It's the ability to discern right and wrong. And so today we're going to continue with our series as we continue to explore Solomon's wisdom. You know, through life sometimes, church, we come across some catchy phrases that are supposed to give us inspiration and direction for living. And a fancy word for these are proverbs. We have proverbs. A proverb is a simple traditional saying that expresses a perceived truth based on common sense or experience. Maybe you've heard some of these proverbs that are just kind of common knowledge for us. Some like this: the early bird catches the worm. The early bird catches the worm. Anyone ever heard that? Yeah. Or maybe this one: an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Yeah. Or walk a mile in someone's shoes before you criticize them. It's a good proverb. But if you're anything like me, you have probably thought these statements through and you offer a more sarcastic approach to them. It's a gift. And so it goes something like this: the early bird catches the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Think about it. Or an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but an onion a day keeps everybody away. Right? Or walk a mile in someone's shoes before you criticize them. That way, you'll be a mile away and have their shoes. There's no extra charge. No, I'm not even going to take up another offering. You can just, that's good information for you to have today, right? Solomon wrote a book of Proverbs, and that's where we're going to be today. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs. And he offered the reader of this book some uncommon sense. Like, these are thoughts of wisdom that he had, so he puts pen to paper, he writes them out so that we can gain some of that wisdom. And so he writes out these proverbs, and I'm just going to throw a few of them out there to you so that you can glean from King Solomon. Proverbs 3 and 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That's good knowledge for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, because our understanding is frail. Our understanding is finite. And so we got to trust God. That's faith. Proverbs 13 and 24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. I'm going to say it louder for those in the back. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Some of you hate your children because you never make them mine. We'll keep going. Proverbs 15 and 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, teach us, O wise king. Man, some of us could really glean from that right there. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word, it stirs up anger. If only you would have read that before you left for church this morning. And it's that argument in the car on the way to church where you had to say it, didn't you? And you stirred up that anger. Am I preaching to anybody right now? Yeah? Don't point at her. And then Solomon just offers some sound instruction and wisdom. Think about some of these things that he said. Proverbs 25 and 17, he said, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and they will hate you. That's actually in the Bible. That's good. That's good advice for some of you. Stop wearing out your welcome. Proverbs 21 and 9. It's better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. I'll just leave that right there and let the Holy Spirit do all the work that needs to be done. There's no need for commentary, right? And this one's one of my personal favorites. Love this one. Proverbs 28 and 1. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them. This is why I don't like to run. Hate running. The book of Proverbs is filled with these short, insightful tidbits of advice from a king that wanted to pass his knowledge and his wisdom on to others. Last week, we studied his prayer for wisdom to govern God's people and how God granted that request of him. Today, I want us to look at how he passed that wisdom on to others, how Solomon intentionally passed that wisdom on to others. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. He explains to us the purpose behind this book of Proverbs. He says, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Man, there is so much that he said in that opening statement to this book of Proverbs. The king gives us the purpose of these proverbs, and that is to teach people to live disciplined lives and to determine what is right, just, and fair. That's the purpose. He expresses that both the simple mind and the mind of the wise can both benefit from these writings. He said that his young listeners will gain discernment, and the more mature will receive guidance. In other words, church, the king is saying that these proverbs are for everyone. No one is exempt. Everyone can glean from this. There's information for all of us to gain in reading these proverbs. The late Billy Graham said that he used to read 5 psalms a day to teach him how to get along with God. Think about that. He would read 5 psalms a day to teach him how to get along with God. Then he would read a chapter of Proverbs every day to teach him how to get along with his fellow man. He was concerned with loving God and loving people. The shape of the cross, loving God and loving people. The vertical and the horizontal. And it works because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Enough to cover every day of the month, and some months there's some to spare. Now, church, the danger for humanity is when we have convinced ourselves that we know everything that we need to know. And it haunts all of us because we all reach that place where we think, well, we're good. We're good. We've got all the knowledge that we need. Understand, wisdom is not a destination. Wisdom is a journey. We are forever to be growing in wisdom. It doesn't just stop. We just don't reach that place. In other words, this side of eternity, you will not reach a place of complete and total understanding and wisdom. It doesn't happen this side of glory. It doesn't. We must be in constant pursuit of wisdom. We can't stop pursuing wisdom. I need wisdom. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And we have to keep pursuing it. And that's the problem with our society right now, is that no one is seeking wisdom. We need godly wisdom now more than ever. We need wisdom, church. We've got to be in constant pursuit of wisdom. I'm reminded of the only look that we get at the adolescence of Jesus. It's the one glimpse. You know, you see him as a baby, and then you see him as a 30-year-old adult. But we get this one moment at Jesus at 12 years old when his family travels to Jerusalem, and as the caravan, they traveled in a large group, as the caravan leaves to return to their home, Jesus chose not to travel, at 12 years old, chose not to travel with the caravan, and he stays in Jerusalem. 3 days after they realize that he is missing, or they search for him for 3 days, they find him finally sitting at the temple among the teachers of the law, listening to them, and then he's asking some really good questions as a student of the law would. And everyone who is there is amazed. Well, if you remember this story, when Joseph and Mary, his earthly parents, when they finally find Jesus, there's this dialogue, there's this exchange of words that happens between Jesus and his mom. And she says, "Why have you worried us so?" And he looks at his mom and he said, "Well, didn't you know that I would be about my father's business?" It seems a little disrespectful, but he was 12 years old. 12 years old. He's in the right place. It's probably just not the right tone. And he says, "Didn't you know that I would be about my father's house?" And the Bible says that he returned to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. But watch this, Luke 2:52. It says, "Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people." Now think about this as it applies to our lives. First of all, notice that God in human form, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, God had to grow in wisdom in his human form. I know this because he probably would not have answered his mom the way that he did. That wasn't wise. My mom would have slapped my head off my shoulders. But nevertheless, he was subject to his parents. And the Bible says that then he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people. He wasn't just born wise. He had to grow into it. And if Jesus, the Son of God in human form, had to grow in wisdom, trust me, so do we. We have to grow in wisdom too. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to grow in wisdom, we need to grow in wisdom too. We have not made it. We have not arrived. We don't know it all. And at the moment that we believe that we have, that is a dangerous place for us, especially as believers in Jesus Christ. We cannot reach that place. We must not. It has to be a continued journey for us to find that wisdom. Because if you notice, wisdom preceded everything else in his life. In all the areas that he needed to grow, wisdom preceded that. First, he grew in wisdom. Then it says that he grew in stature. Now, the Hebrew word that's used here for stature is the Hebrew word helikai. Helikai. And it does not necessarily mean that Jesus grew taller. He did. I'm convinced of that. He grew taller, but this word can also be translated as maturity. That Jesus grew in maturity. Wisdom causes you to grow mature. It causes you to grow up. You know, this is a message that it just needs to be transcribed and plastered all over social media right now. That's all I'm going to say. Psychologists explain what is referred to as the Peter Pan syndrome. I've mentioned it before, but it's where people reach an age mentally and they just decide that they're good with that mental state and they have no desire to advance. It's like they reach that place and they don't want to grow up beyond that. You've met people like this. You know people like this. Some of you are people like this. It's people that just don't mature. They get older. They look older, but they still act like a child. I graduated in 1992 from high school, and today I'm social media friends with a few of my old friends and acquaintances from high school who are now 50-plus years old, and they still act like they're 17. You know anybody like this? Don't point at them. Don't point at them. But you know people like this, right? You've seen it. It's the Peter Pan syndrome. They never pursued wisdom, and they still reason like they did in high school. And church, hear me. It's acceptable for an 18-year-old to act like an 18-year-old. It's not acceptable for a 50-year-old to act like an 18-year-old. It's just not. Because we're on a journey of pursuing wisdom. We have to continue growing in wisdom. And for some of us, our reasoning has not caught up with our actual age. We have to go back to the classroom of wise counsel. And we have got to seek the wisdom of God. We need a supernatural impartation of wisdom on our lives so that we can do the right things and say the right things, discern what is right and what is wrong, so that we can guide and we can lead the next generation because they're learning from us. I'm afraid that most of our society has this Peter Pan syndrome. Well, this is just who I am. Well, you're a moron. Stop acting like that. 1 Corinthians 13:11, the Apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things." You see, as believers, especially as believers, we have to grow up and mature. Mentally, we have to grow and mature. Next, wisdom preceded favor. When you look at the boy Jesus, wisdom preceded favor. The first thing it mentioned was favor with God. Now, I'm going to step on some toes right now, and as if I already haven't, but favor with God, I'm afraid too many people disregard the importance of wisdom as it relates to God's favor on our lives. It's like we don't even consider it. But God's favor in our lives is a direct result of the wisdom that we obtain and acquire seeking his counsel. Why is it that some people seem to have a good handle on their finances and yet others always seem to struggle financially? Why is it? It's because you don't naturally know how to make good financial decisions. It has to be a learned trait. I'll show you what I mean. When we go out to eat, sometimes there's this one particular restaurant in Jonesville that has some games, and they're not sponsoring today's sermon, so I'm not mentioning them by name, because what I've noticed is when I mention a restaurant, half of you go there and eat there that day or that week, so got to be careful. But if Gators Dockside wants to chip in a little bit this morning, I'll be more than happy to mention their name. But when we go there, our grandson is fascinated with some of the games that light up. He really likes the, you know, and there's a couple of claw games in there, and they're just surrounded with lights. And the lights change colors. And Mandy and I took him to lunch, took Knox there this week, and he wanted to play it. Now, I could give him a dollar, or now you go over and you tap your card on it and it charges you for a couple of plays there. but I could teach him, like, here's a dollar. You have a choice. You could go and play that game, or you can put it in your pocket and save it. You know what that kid is going to pick. He's going to want to go play that game right then, right now. Over time, I could explain to him, every time I give you that dollar, you put it in your pocket, you take it home, you put it in your piggy bank. Eventually, you'll be able to buy your own game and have it at your house to play anytime you want it. Not just a game. You can have lots of games. All you got to do is, change out the game and your game system will. But you got to learn to save that money. It's the same mentality that most adults have. We want it right now. It's a learned trait. It's wisdom that has to come as we grow and as we mature. Financial wisdom is a learned trait. It is uncommon sense. I like what Dave Ramsey says about it. He says, if you will learn to live like no one else now, later you can live like no one else. This is such a great lesson for us, because wisdom teaches us to make the sacrifices now so that we can live generous later. But so many of us, we don't live life that way, and so there's no way for us to be generous because we're so strapped and locked in with our own selfishness. I told you I was going to step on your toes. I told you. I warned you. You had a chance to leave, and you didn't. But here's the question. Can God trust you with his favor? Have you grown? Have you matured? Can God trust you with his favor? Are you mature enough to handle his favor? And for some of you, and I'm just going to look down right now, for some of you, God can't trust you with his favor because you rob him of his tithe. And I get it. I know. The struggle is real, but it doesn't have to be. I've been trusting God with my finances since I was 14 years old and had my first job. And I've never went lacking, and I've never went without. And I'm not a millionaire either. But man, he has always come through and he's always provided. And some of you, you just haven't grown and matured there yet. And it's not natural. You've got to pray for understanding. You've got to pray for wisdom. And you've got to learn this trait of what it means to trust God financially. Because God wants to be able to trust you with his favor. But can he trust you? In the words of Solomon's father, David, he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging for bread. Never. And I pray that that will be the testimony of my life too, that I've never seen Rocky forsaken and I've never seen his children begging bread. Man, may that be the blessing that is on my life, the favor that is on my life. Because the righteous can be trusted with God's favor. And finally, Jesus grew not just in favor with God, but he grew in favor with people. This is important. He grew in favor with people. And I'm afraid that sometimes we get lost in thinking that favor with people is us blessing or them blessing us. Like that's favor. And I'm not going to say that certainly can't be a part of it. I've certainly had favor with people where they have somehow blessed me. But don't limit it to that. The favor on the life of Jesus, the favor of God on the life of Jesus was that he became influential in people's lives. Think about it. There was a moment in his ministry that he stood on a hillside and there was 5,000 men plus women and children that stood there to listen to his words and glean from his teachings. You don't think that is influential? That is the favor that God blessed his life with people. He had favor with people. The goal of godly wisdom should be to influence. The goal of godly wisdom on my life is not to make me rich and wealthy. The goal of godly wisdom in my life is to influence. And this is where the church misses it so often. When we were raising our kids, my goal was to influence how life was lived in our home. That was the goal. I wanted my children to see how we live life as Christians, as believers in our home. I wanted to influence them. As a pastor, my goal is to influence our homes and ultimately how life is lived in our city and our surrounding cities that we reach out to. That's my goal. I want us to influence how life is lived in our Jerusalem, in our Samaria. I want to make sure that we, as the farther our reach, the more influence that we have. Because church wisdom creates influence. And who better to influence our society than we as believers? This should be the goal of us, the goal of our church. It should be to live life in such a way with such wisdom poured out from heaven into our lives that we are influencing the culture around us. And I see the look on your faces right now, and you're like, listen, Pastor, I'm just trying to survive. I just want to go to Publix and not fight a crowd today. That's my goal. That's my goal. And I get it. I get it. I have not been yet. Thank the Lord. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 10. He says, God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, ultimately, he's saying, I want the enemy to see the influence that the church has on society. That's what he's saying. But think about this. We should be at a place in our spiritual maturity that we are displaying cultural transforming wisdom to the world around us. That's where we should be as a church. That's where we should be as personal believers. Because what happens when the church starts influencing culture rather than culture influencing the church? That's the goal. And church, here's what I've realized. Wisdom is contagious, but so is foolishness. And there's a pandemic of foolishness right now. And you've got to ask yourself, which one am I influencing? Is it wisdom or is it foolishness? Which one am I instrumental in spreading? Wisdom or foolishness? Because I can assure you, in your home, there's people, there's young minds that are paying attention right now. They're figuring out how to problem solve every situation in life, everything the enemy throws at them by your reaction to it. I mean, I knew in my heart of hearts when I was raising my kids, I knew it. I knew that wisdom was hanging in the balance, and I could not let them become Lakers fans. I knew it. They had to be Celtics. As for me and my house, and you know what I did? I made sure they were Celtics fans. To this day. But you know what? It doesn't stop with just our children. Because now I'm in that phase of life where I know that my grandson is not only watching his parents, but he's watching Pop Rock and Grammy too. And I'm almost done, I promise you, I'm almost done. But here's some foolishness for you. We had this volunteer appreciation dinner. And the day before, we were rehearsing in here. As we always do, we rewrite a parody and we have some fun in appreciation of all of our volunteers. If you've never been, you miss it. It's a blast. But we put a lot of work into a parody, and usually it's a medley of songs. And the song that I was going to sing lead on this year was a rewrite of the classic Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine. And we were rehearsing on this stage, and I walk out with a wig, a bandana, sunglasses. Pastor Andrew had on a wig and a guitar. He looked just like Slash. And Pastor Scott over here playing the bass with his wig, and Pastor Zach was over here singing back up and doing all kinds of ungodly movements. I don't know what was up with all that. But the day before we're rehearsing, the day before the event we're rehearsing, and my daughter-in-law brings Mariah brings Knox in, and they sit down at a table that was set up in this middle section here. And my grandson is looking as his pop rock is losing his mind on stage. And he just, he looks at his mom one time and he goes, and I thought, I'm scarring him. Like, he's never going to look at me the same again. Like, this is bad. I had deep concern. This is going to be bad. Well, we do the event the next night and everything. Well, since then, I calculated it the other day. We have watched that video with Knox, per his request, 4,783 times. And that kid, he grabs a microphone. I had an old microphone that didn't work. I gave it to him. He grabs the microphone, and he mimics every move Pop Rock makes. I. There's one part where I'd reach down, and I slap the floor. I couldn't do it right now and pop back up the way that I did. I mean, it was the anointing that night. But that kid mimics every move, and now his favorite song is I. That's what he calls it, I. I know it's foolishness, but let me tell you, they're watching everything we do, everything we say, every decision we make, every response we make, and soon they'll be on social media too, and I'm telling you, everything you put out there, mom and dad, grandparents, they're watching it all. Listen, wisdom breeds influence. We must seek wisdom, and if we're going to change the next generation, then we need to get in touch with God. We need to say, God, I need your wisdom in my life so that I can influence the next generation of believers, because they hang in the balance right now, church. They do, and they're watching every move we make, and we've got to show them what it looks like to live a spirit-filled, faith-believing life, and when we do, we're going to change the culture of this world, and it will start in our homes, and it will breed to our communities, and it will continue to flow from that point. But it's got to start with us making a conscious decision and saying, I want your wisdom, God.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.